We are going to open up our Bibles to the concluding portion of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. This is the concluding section of Scripture, but it won't be the concluding message of Colossians. We'll maybe finish that up next week. But Colossians chapter 4, we're going to read from verses 7 through the end of the chapter in verse number 18. It says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who were of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." And may the Lord add his blessing to his holy word this morning. Amen. Well, I titled this morning's message, at first it didn't have a part one on it, I added a part one on it this morning, is "A Family Snapshot." I love going into a place where there are pictures of the family. People come in our house and we have pictures of Christmas, there's Christmas cards around our kitchen cabinets. Our hallway has pictures of the family. Loved ones who have been deceased, as well as those that are with us today. It evokes memories, does it not? We all love pictures. Amen? Who doesn't love a picture? As the old expression, every picture tells a story. And every picture has a thousand words. We have a picture here that Paul portrays. He has painted us a picture of those people that we would consider faithful members of the family of God that ministered to Paul as they minister also to those they would be sent to. And it starts with this gentleman named Tychicus. I might say it different every time I say it. It might come out as Tychicus, it might come out as Tychicus. Either way is okay. So we're looking at this gentleman this morning named Tychicus. Who is Tychicus? Well, the scripture shows who he is. He says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you." Look at this description of him. Paul is entrusting him to relay his message that he has from prison, of the great works that were done even from that prison, where people were coming to Paul and he was giving them the gospel. From soldiers to guards to people just passing along, people were coming to know the Lord. And so Paul is sending Tychicus and Onesimus together to bring this epistle to Colossae, as he did also to Ephesus and to the church in Colossae in Philemon's house. And it's an amazing thing that he does. Look at this description. He says, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Amen. A beloved brother. What does that mean? Is it just a brother? We have a lot of brothers and sisters. We have them in the flesh. We have them in the church. But Paul had this special bond with Tychicus. And by the way, the name Tychicus, I thought of Gil this morning. Tychicus means fortunate. He was fortunate. God could only give him that name. He was fortunate that he would come under the ministry of Paul and be led to the Lord and have salvation and bring that message to those around. But he was beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord means that he had a special bond with Paul. They were beloved brethren, a special bond. They knew each other like the back of each other's hands. And they comfort each other. They edified one another. They prayed together. They spent a lot of time together over a space of about 10 years. Now, just like the rest of the people mentioned here, some names you recognize. We recognize Mark, who is now a faithful brother, who wasn't at one time. We see Demas, who at this time is faithful, but he would fall away loving this present world. We see a picture of a typical healthy family in the house of God. But Tychicus, this beloved brother, I want to turn someplace. I want to go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. This is actually a very controversial area today, and controversial for the wrong reasons. Tychicus was an example of what I'm going to mention here in Matthew 25. Let's go down to verse number 34 of Matthew chapter 25. We'll read right to the end. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. I'm starting at 31 instead of 34. So I just moved up a little bit. So, and therefore him shall, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So we have a picture of the sheep and the goats. The sheep would be those that would believe. The goats would be those that would be under judgment from God. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as we have done, ye have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and ye prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then verily he answered them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. See, those verses describe Tychicus. What was he? He was a companion. He was a beloved brother of Paul who spent time in prison ministering to Paul's needs. Paul was afflicted. Paul was sick. Paul was in prison. Sadly today, and I understand why it happens, these verses are attributed to the social gospel that is being preached. That you must take care of immigrants. And as a Christian duty, as a fruit of salvation, yes, we are kind to all men. But this is a picture of how those that belong unto the Lord are treated. It's not a picture of you being mandated to go and feed the world. It's around today. That's a big doctrine that's today, is taking care of the dreamers, taking care of those. Actually, somebody told me yesterday, it's a duty for Christians to do that. Well, if you're going to do that, go back to Leviticus 13 and see how the strangers were treated. They were treated in the land of Israel as strangers, but guess what they had to do? They had to follow the dictates of God's law in that land. But people are trying to take that and say, this is the mandate of the church. Just look all around you as you go. See, churches have forgotten about the gospel and they're preaching a works gospel. Just build up community and go out and feed the world. Feed the world. That is not the gospel. The gospel is repentance and forgiveness of sin. Amen? It's about people trusting the Lord. That's how you become a sheep. So Tychicus was a beloved brother, and he ministered unto Paul. He was a picture of what the sheep will be like compared with the goats. He, because of his faith, ministered to Paul in his need. It wasn't to get saved. It was because he was saved already. Paul had given him the gospel. How do you thank somebody that gives you the gospel? You know who gave me the gospel? Somebody shared it. Shared it wasn't that person's work that saved me. It was the work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, convicting me of my sin. And that's how it is with everyone. God draws upon people. And he uses the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin. And then brings you to Christ. He uses people like Paul, like Tychicus, like you and me today. The picture we have as a beloved brethren is a picture of those that will be sheep. They will minister to those. While we're in Matthew, let's look at verse 40. These three words clarify who the sheep are. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now let's go back a little bit in history. Do we have any of the original apostles alive today? None at all. They were all tortured. There were some crucified. John was boiled in oil and he survived that. And he would later die. But this is an example what the Gentiles and the Jews did to them. The people that were the sheep, the people that were of God, would minister to them as Tychicus ministered to Paul. Amen? It's an amazing thing when you look at that, that the reality of the gospel is, yes, you are saved freely without any cost of your own. It's all but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And out of thanksgiving for salvation, that's when we minister one to another. You know, there will be a time, and it is starting now, where Christians will be persecuted. And we'll see the same thing as the early church saw. Christians being persecuted for their faith, and then there'll be other brethren that will help them, and there will be people claiming to be brethren that will not help them. And I'm more than likely false believers in the tribulation. Goats. So Tychicus is the beloved brethren. He ministered to Paul in prison and cared for him, fed him, did all he could because he was thankful for his salvation. After all, you can't be called a brethren unless you have salvation. Right. Amen? So that's the bond that Paul and Tychicus had. He also was, he was a beloved brethren. Then it says he's a faithful minister. What is a minister? A minister is one who serves. He was there day in, day out. He was like clockwork to be with Paul for a good 10 solid years of being faithful. Amen? Today, what does a faithful minister look like? Now, minister isn't just somebody that's behind a podium or a platform or a pulpit. A minister is someone that serves. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to go to verse number 1. Chapter number 4, verse 1 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the minister, as ministers of Christ." So, a servant of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. What is the mystery of God? It's a twofold mystery. Number one, it's the church is a mystery of God. Number two, it's because of the church, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. The church wasn't seen in prophecy. Only Israel is in Bible prophecy. But the church, Jesus Christ, came to establish the church. It was established by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and it was in order to make Israel jealous. And ultimately, the church will be used as an example of faith to the nation of Israel. And that's what will happen in the book of Revelation. So the stewards of the mysteries of God. And verse number 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards." A steward is a governor, somebody that's a head over a household. "A steward, that a man be found faithful." Faithful in the word of God, faithful in the work of God. And part of that faithfulness, as we see with Tychicus daily, all the time ministering unto Paul, they have to be consistent as well. Now, I'm not going to say that we should be like clockwork and everything we do should be at the moment every day of our lives, but we should be as Christians. All of us are Christian ministers. We should be consistent. Consistent in our walk, consistent in our talk. Now, I know just by experience, that doesn't always happen, does it? How does it get experience? Go back to the mysteries of God. Go back to what saved you. And when you go back to what saved you, guess what you know now? That's what also keeps you. Amen? So be faithful. I stop at the same place every morning for coffee. I do it almost like clockwork. And every morning, the same person is there, and she knows how I have my coffee. Now, I can't help but to think that if I went there, and I went to walk in the door, and the door was closed, and they said, well, I don't feel like being here today, we wouldn't be very happy about that, would we? And that's how it is with our Christian walk as well. We learn to be consistent with the will, the word, and the work of God. Keep your fingers here in 1 Corinthians 4 for a second and go back to our text in Colossians. It says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brethren and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. They were in the yoke together. Who drives the yoke? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me, all ye who labor and a heavy burden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is what Paul and Tychicus did together. They labored. That's why Paul had the confidence that he could now send Tychicus and Onesimus back to Colossae. Tychicus, who was more than likely from Ephesus, to go to Colossae along with the former slave or former fugitive, Onesimus, to go back and faithfully report what God was doing through Paul and with Paul and in Paul. And you know the amazing part as we think of these names? All these people are dead and gone. Just like the churches they represented are dead and gone. They're no longer. They've been taken over by foreign nations. Most of these churches are inhabited by Muslims today and some other religions as well. But yet, we have this snapshot. We can see this picture of them, and that picture remains forever. Somebody not so well known to the world, we see Luke further on down, he was well known, but Tychicus, he had a better name than Dr. So-and-so. He had a better name than the king or queen. He had a better name than someone who would be called cardinal or bishop or pope, and that he was called beloved and faithful and a fellow servant. So he was there. And the record of him, it's just found in a few places in the New Testament, remains forever. This man's influence is still being affected today, is it not? We see those examples. Those examples that just these three things have more impact than the greatest technology or anything else in the world. They're here. They're written for us. What a joy to serve together. Amen. Have you ever had to do something really difficult and you were by yourself? Man, everybody's done that. Isn't it much better when you have somebody doing it with you? Think of Paul being in bonds, being in chains. Yes, I believe that Paul was totally content with those chains. But isn't it so much better to have somebody who's beloved and faithful and a fellow servant with you? Let's not take for granted our Christian brothers and sisters. I think all of us might go through this. I know David went through it. He felt abandoned, alone. He felt that God had forsaken him, but yet we have fellowship to remind each other that God has not forgotten you. I just was speaking with somebody yesterday, somebody that grew up, the kids' ages, out in California, and I got to put this on the prayer list. They had, their youngest daughter had a birthday party last week. They had a woman and her 17-month-old daughter came for their party, the one-year-old's birthday party, and on their way back home, an hour away, they were rear-ended. That 17-month-old child was killed, and the mother has a fractured skull and some broken bones. She'll be okay. But yet, they are questioning the reality of God. How could God do this to a little child? Well, you need encouragement one with another. That little child is safe in the arms of Jesus. I have no doubt about that. He's safe. But the only way you're going to realize that safety net is that when you're in fellowship with other believers, whether you're in affliction or whether you're in the comforts of your own home. It's the only way that you have reconciliation. The only way that you can understand. See, God loves that little baby. That baby that hasn't been able to make a choice to believe. The only way somebody is rejected by God is if they've had the opportunity to believe the gospel and they reject it. That's John chapter 3 and verse 18. You're condemned already because you believe not. But when somebody can hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and if you'll trust Him and repent of your sins, trust Him, He will save you. Amen. If you reject that, that's where condemnation is. That little baby does not understand the gospel. And perhaps there are other older humans that can't understand the gospel as well. But when you know the gospel and you reject it, that's condemnation. And the only way that even a believer that loses sight of what Jesus did and gets discouraged is to be back in fellowship. Back in fellowship with God and other believers to be encouraged. Amen. Fellow servants. What a joy it is to serve together. To laugh together. To cry together. All those emotions together make the journey so much better. Amen. That's what Paul had with Tychicus. I was reflecting back. I think Gordon said he started his job in 1979 at his place of employment where he just retired. That's the year I graduated from high school. And I was looking at some pictures, and I saw a picture of one of my childhood heroes was Willie Stargell of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Do you remember 1979? They won the World Series that year. And they did it without Roberto Clemente, who was killed a couple of years earlier in a plane crash. But Willie Stargell, they took a team, think of it, a team with people from every walk of life. And they were brought together, and against all odds, they won the World Series that year. Say, what does this have to do with Tychicus and Paul? Well, think of it this way. This cast that Paul is presenting here at the end of this letter, they're all different. But what they had together was they had the same Lord and Savior. Even somebody like Demas and John Mark, who would fall away, the only answer they had was to get back and trust Christ. That's what they have together. The Pittsburgh Pirates, back to this. There was a song that was popular, and when you see the Pittsburgh Pirates again, you're not going to forget this. Sister Sledge had a song called "We Are Family." Amen. Remember, your memories are coming back to life right now. But for those of you that were born after 1979, you'll have to take my word for this. they group together around that song of "We Are Family," and they put aside their other differences and focused on the task at hand. Even their star pitcher was disgruntled. He was like Aristarchus, and he demanded a trade, but he gutted it up and worked together, and they went on and won. Yes, it's probably used as a worship song in places. We are family. But that's what a picture of a functioning church family is like. Everybody being different, but putting those small differences aside, ministering for the number one cause, the glory of God. All these attributes carry far more weight than any other earthly attributes. Well, I'm a lawyer. I'm sorry for you. I'm a judge. I'm a king. I'm a queen. I'm a priest. Those have no weight compared to being beloved, faithful, and a fellow servant for the Lord. Tychicus' example shows us that we have the task of being and behaving as Christians. We are, after all, lights in the world, and as earlier in this chapter, we are salt. In a dying world, the Christian message is a message of preservation, a message that can bring hope to this lost and dying world. And Tychicus here is our example today. And as we close, we'll pick up Onesimus next week. So this will go longer than I thought. As we close, think of this. What makes a church successful? I think there are churches that have signs on, like McDonald's used to have, over 1 billion saved. Where are they? Yeah. Amen? The measure of success is not in the size of our buildings. It's not in the size of our bank accounts or budgets. It's not in the size of how many, I'm going to try to alliterate here, of the butts we put in the seats. The measurement of our success is faithfulness to the Lord. The only way that we can be faithful to the Lord is when we realize that the Lord is faithful. Amen. I was thinking, I almost picked out the song "As a Hart," or "As a Deer Panteth for the Water." You guys know that song, right? You know, think of this for a second. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Go back and read Psalm 42 sometime and look at the state of David at the time. He was feeling lost. He was feeling destitute. So I like to change the way that song is. Be like this. As the deer panteth for the water, my soul longeth after you. Where are you, Lord? That is our call. I think I woke up a dog down the road. That is our state of mind. We feel destitute. We wonder where God is. He has gone nowhere. He's a very present help in a time of need. Amen. So salvation, it's been given freely. How is it received? Freely. Forgiveness of sin, how has it been given? I gave away the answer already. Freely. How do you receive forgiveness? Freely. By the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't we stand and prepare to sing and pray? I forget, what song are we going to go to? We'll turn to number 371. But just think, I always like to ask the question, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with any kind of problems at all, bring it to the cross. Bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful and understanding of all of our needs. The need of salvation, the need of sanctification, And He desires all of us to fellowship together and encourage one another even as we see the day approaching. And it could be approaching any second now. I was counting down how many seconds were in a minute. But it could be any time at the twink of an eye. That trumpet could sound. And how are you ready? It's by believing the gospel. But won't some Christians be not going in the rapture? Not if they've received the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. But our fellowship with Him is important. We need to desire Him and look at Him as being our only remedy and only refuge from sin and suffering. Amen.